I'm the greatest.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
He is so good and he's so powerful to be around.
With guest host, John Spider Sally.
They came up with the phrase, jump the shark, because of that episode. Every time they mentioned it, we were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care? There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true.
Earlier on the show, Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. Still to come, 12-year NBA veteran Frank Brakowski. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's John Spider Sally.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. And I want everybody to know, I love Rich, but Susie, his wife, is really my friend. Like she's my road dog. It's my sister, and I don't have sisters. And it's kind of like different strokes. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm one of the adopted black kids in her very wealthy white family.
So Susie's Dana Plato in this?
Yeah, Susie is my road dog. She was like, yeah, you got to be on the show. We would constantly have these conversations. I don't know, 12 years of doing this show. And this is my first time. No, I used to always say, I got to get on the show. This hour, everybody. Oh, I'm loving to be here. This hour, everybody. My friend, we just had Isaiah Thomas. If you wasn't around or didn't get to hear him, shame on you.
Right.
That's the first thing. Second thing is my other friend that's going to be on in this hour is Frank Brakowski. Now, this is an unbelievable guy. So when we talked to him 12 years in the NBA, you know, it was a lot of 1 and 2 years at a lot of places, 1 and 2 years. He's an enforcer. I used to say to him, man, what do you do that you only stay on a team for a year and a half? And then I learned how to do it. Thanks. get your money, get out. LeBron, this situation to death. So that's going to be a great thing. And we're going to have conversation about, because he and I, you know, sit around and talk about a lot of things. We talk about the way the NBA is now, where it's come from, where we think it's going. Just great conversation about life, and a good friend of mine. And I always love talking to him. He's a little bit older than me, so I like getting, as I say, a lot of information from the vets. So the vets are still my vets, even though I'm a vet and older, the older guys still get the respect. This summer, past summer, I was doing, which way? I was doing, what the
No, thing? I'm just, you were talking about last summer. I was like, last summer.
Way to go. He gave me the thumb. I said, they don't hitchhike anymore. You get kidnapped. I did the sideline reporting for Big Three. And George Gervin and Dr. J were, and Clyde Drexler and Spencer Haywood. And I'm seriously, you know, I knew I was a fan of these guys, but I was standing there even a year ago staring at George Gervin as if he was going to do something I hadn't seen him do. All he was doing was walking. So I'm a huge fan of guys that I used to watch when I was a youngster. And I wonder, when I'm watching these guys play now, everybody, while I was sitting here, I realized what happened. Steph Curry has made the game fun for people who aren't tall. Because look where he's shooting the ball from. He's shooting the ball. Everybody can do that. Everybody far. Can throw the ball up to the rim. Maybe not get it to go in as efficiently as he does, but the game is back to being a regular size game. Regular size. Before, you know, you had to be, the guards are Tracy McGrady. The guards are right now. The guard is what's another one? Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can play guard. Kevin Durant is 6'11".
LeBron James plays point.
He
guard.
He plays really. Point guard. Yeah. When Magic came in, that was a phenom. So the game is going back to the smaller guy. Can you say smaller guy? You can't say shorter guy, right? What is the politically correct things to say, TJ? Since you do social. The small man.
I think that's it.
The
but
small
short
man.
Short is also all relative. Steph is 6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph is 6'3"?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like You know, I
my
feel
daughter's
like
6'3".
I'm pretty tall, John. Like Jason was like this morning when you and I settled up, Jason was like, it's the first time you've looked small in here. Like I'm 6'3", so I feel big. But I remember one summer I hung out with Tony Parker and Steve Nash. Yeah. You watch them on TV, you're thinking both of those guys are little. They're both bigger than I am.
Wow.
You know, it's so.
But you're bigger than them. If you put them together, you're more rounded.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I weigh more than the both of them. Yeah.
You weigh a little bit more. Steph Curry is 6'3". Really? Yeah, no, he's got to be like 6'1".
I've never seen him in person, but that's what he's listed at.
Really?
He's listed 6'2".
Well, how big is Brown?
Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
6'6".
Yeah, so, you know, he's more Kobe and Michael Jordan type. Okay. Yeah, but no, but for some reason, Steph just gives me small man. You know, that jump shot, you can throw it up there. And I think that's what the allure is. The allure is you don't have to go in there and have these unbelievable dunks and things like that.
Has he changed the game for the better because of that?
I think Steph Curry's changed the game for the better, period. And I think he has because those shots he takes, it doesn't look like he's throwing them up. It has form. He has the same form in every one of the shots, and he takes those shots in practice. When he's practicing taking those shots, that means he's changed the game. Plus, they used to take those shots. The Celtics were great at that, right? Back in the 50s, those were set shots, right? He just happens to jump on his. Yeah, definitely. I think he's changed the game for the better.
They were pulling from 28 feet, though, back then.
Oh, Pistol Pete was.
Yeah, Pistol Pete shot the ball in his sleep, too. He shot it all the time.
Well, he was an anomaly, though, that guy.
But do you ever wonder why? Well, I know the reason. We don't see all that video or tons of things. They don't see because they can't market it. They can't sell it. They can't sell a Pistol Pete jersey.
It's in black and white, too.
No, he's got Pistol Pete was in black and white. Black, what are you
it's in
about?
16 millimeter. No, it's not 16.
It's black and white.
They got it. They have it in color.
It's full color, bro.
Are you short Pistol Pete video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. No question. Yeah. You'll see him. You only see one or two. It's just like the moon landing. You only see one or two of that. We're not going to get into the moon landing, right? Good.
Uh-oh,
we're not
going to.
Good. We're not going to. Not talking about it. Talking about it. TJ, how was Pride Parade this week?
I would have no idea, to be honest.
You got it. We had to have somebody there to at least video it. I remember when I asked, I said, hey, can I get a camera to go down to the Pride video? They go, what, are we going to put it on the Best Dance Sports Show? I go, yeah, it's going to be hilarious. You know, got it. It's a part of life, man. It's part way
oh,
this world's
sure.
going. It's a part.
But no, I wasn't able to attend this year.
You wasn't able to go down to.
Well, I told you
West
I got
Hollywood.
In a car wreck, so my car is all jacked up. So I ain't trying to go anywhere at this point.
Yeah. You do anything not to get gas.
He doesn't even leave his house.
Yeah, you know.
Well, gas
hey, you
cheap,
know, my
man.
Guy crashed. You got to send me an Uber. Uber.
My back is hurting. You
mentioned
know.
Best Damn. It's too bad Mike's not here today because he worked on that back in the day.
Yeah,
what was that like, the phenomenon of that show? I remember watching it in the early 2000s. It was awesome.
I remember, I told somebody yesterday, I remember Joe Buck said something that it was a silly show, and I got upset. And Chris Rose was like, come on, man. Don't, you know, chill. It's Joe Buck. And I was like, what? Y'all acting like Joe Buck is more important than what we're talking about. I couldn't get it. It was a lot of fun because we had comedy writers writing comedy about sports. And I knew that athletes were very sensitive. I knew they didn't have, a lot of them didn't have a funny bone in their body. But it really got to the point. Tiger Woods didn't want to come on. I got to interview him, but he didn't want to come on because Tom Arnold was making jokes. but he wound up doing an interview with me because he, you know, I'm cool like that. And I got juice. But it was the most fun. And I say this because I know these guys are going to watch, right? We have John Entz, Weinberg, Becker. You know, I don't want to leave all the names out because I don't want to do it. Cahill, all the people who are executive producers. I used to constantly say to them, this is the best job we're ever going to have. to get there. Well, I got there at 1. The production meeting started at 1, so I get there at 1:10. And I had to keep the stereotype going, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I understand.
TJ gets it. He's late every day.
Yeah.
Well, late. I mean, late is relative to what? Like, the show starts at 9. So.
I'm not late. I'm father time. But we would talk about other people, like what we're doing now, right? And I thought, hey, it was going to be so much more fun. We already know what we're going to say. Have your opinion and offend somebody a little bit. Right. And that was the best part of it. Then we would get out of there, and I have to respect. I had no idea all the work you guys do to get into a show. None. I had no idea. I just thought you get there, you show up, you say what you say, and then you leave. Now, it's a lot to it. I learned television being at Fox, best thing in the world. And then, you know, everybody went over to the NFL Network. There was no need for me at the NFL Network. So I just did movies and reality shows and raised kids. That's about it.
How crazy is Tom Arnold?
Tom Arnold is one of the funniest people. I'm telling you, one of the funniest people I've met. And he thinks it, which was amazing, because a lot of times you get a lot of people and they go, oh, they're just funny. No, he literally put his work into his craft. And when people were laughing at him and making jokes of him, he knows how to be funny. He knows where the camera is. He knows what's funny, what's not funny, when it's going to hit. That was a good thing. I got to watch what happens when you put it together, and then when you get out there and it looks like it just happened. No, he knew it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. So I learned a lot from Tom, too. He's a good friend, too. A good person good friend. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of times. I mean, everybody likes coming on this show. You know, even though I'm friends with Rich and Susie, I literally, you know, couldn't get on the show until I had a movie. And that's what he said. He said, do something worthwhile and we'll put you on the show. Now finish parking the car.
Wow.
Hey, you know, I meant to say this to you guys, because I saw, and everybody, I was in New York doing Kelly and Ryan, name drop. You know, since TJ's over there dropping names.
We couldn't figure out why you were there.
I was in New York doing Kelly and Ryan and auditioning like I'm doing here. And you guys were coming out of the Sports Emmys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you got nominated?
We did.
Outstanding Daily Studio Show.
Daily Studio Show.
How many shows did you go up against?
There were hundreds. 6 total in the category.
Well, I mean, but hundreds. Well, yeah,
but in that category.
In that, yeah. 6 got nominated.
Okay, and who wound up taking the trophy?
Good Morning Football.
Yeah, Good Morning Football.
Good Morning Football.
On NFL Network with Kyle Brandt and Peter Schrager.
Oh, that show is not better than this one.
I mean.
So did you guys
did
not.
Did you just wink?
Did you guys don't know about payola? You didn't pay anybody off.
Well, we don't want to be the ones to talk about it. But hey, since you're guest hosting,
like, let me tell you how it works, right? It depends on how much advertising money is put out there, and then how many people get to hear it, and what's better for the whole thing. It's not that. I mean, seriously, I watch this show, so it must mean that it's good, because I don't waste my minutes.
I mean, you can send a text to the guy who booked you for this.
To the guy? Yeah. You guys
say, hey.
You should have.
But John, the wheels a little bit more.
In real talk, like, you know, saying the honor is to be nominated is true, because I'm sure if you watch, you know, we were, and Rich has said this, we were very close to.
Really?
It was almost, the last rites were being read.
Wow.
For us, and for us to still be here today and to have gotten that nomination is.
It's
really
big.
Major, because you see, you know, the people you see in this studio, add 2 more people at home, and that's our entire crew. That's what we got putting us on.
It shouldn't cost that much, then. I mean, if Rich only takes $6 million and not 7, we can fill in the gap.
Gather million between the rest of it?
Yeah, you know, you can fill in the gap. You can make this like the show Friends. You know, if some of you, if he just takes, you know.
If we were favorite nations, it might be different.
No favorite nation. There's no nation we're going to be that would work in. Hey, I tell you this, though. I was thinking, when I was thinking about who was I going to call, and I was going to call Michael Irvin. And what I was going to do is something that most people don't do. And you guys are probably going to say no. But I was just going to go on my phone in the 11 o'clock hour.
I think...
And just call,
call
people.
No,
randomly.
No, I think you should do that.
I love that idea.
Right?
No, because here's the deal.
Tell them, Chris. Tell
okay,
me
so here's the deal. Well, someone will just get casually brought up in conversation all the time, and Rich knows everybody, and right. He's very good friends with a lot of people. And so a name will just get brought up, like Al Michaels or something, and I'll be like, FaceTime Al right now. And he'll go, oh, no, I can't do that to them. What if they're in the middle of XYZ? I'm like... Then it'll be even better.
Right.
Like, yeah. he just FaceTime him. He just won't do it. He'll like, well, let me text him and see if he's available. Like, no, that's not cool.
No.
Because you're giving them a heads up.
Yeah, because if you text me and ask me if you can FaceTime me,
I'm going to say
depending
no.
Depending on who you are, there's a chance I'll be like, I'm busy. No.
No, but like, hey, we were talking about Shaq. FaceTime Shaq. Just do it. Who cares?
So I'm going to put a bunch of names out, and we're going to say this. Oh, yeah. Let me just say this again. Anybody that wants to give us a call,
yeah,
it's 844-204-RICH. Okay? Just make sure. And I see what you got to say. I had my boy get on the phone from the D a little while ago. But you know what? I should hit Charles Barkley. He'd probably be... attempting to play golf at this time in the morning.
Attempting.
That's what it is.
Yeah, attempting. We'll take your calls at the end of this hour. We're going to talk to Frank Bukowski coming up, and then after that, we'll take your phone call. So call
we're going
to
take it. Yeah,
call us right now.
And I think I should. I think I'm going to try Michael Irvin. I didn't get a text back the other day. He's going to say I didn't get a text from you. I didn't get a text back the other day because he would have given me an excuse and given me seven other people. I
mean, should we FaceTime Tom Arnold?
I know. Let's see if Tom Arnold's number is the same. I wanted Deion Sanders on. I love Deion. And I heard, you know, he lost a couple of toes. So I have to make some jokes about that, which, right? This is funny. I used to, anything that was really bad, they knew I was going to make a joke about it just to like break the ice. Yeah. Can't, that's another thing that the cancel culture doesn't like. They don't like you putting comedy in spots.
You can't joke about things that are serious.
Which is
crazy. That should be the stuff you make jokes
that's
about.
That's right. That's where the best comedy is in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave Chappelle, what's up? Maybe we should call Dave Chappelle. That would be amazing.
Have a number for Dave.
Well, this audience, are we Republican or Democrat?
This audience?
We probably lean left.
I don't know if we want to get it down this road.
Because I was going to, no, I just wondered because I was going to call like Chuck D. And I was.
Chuck D's name got brought up as a potential guest a couple months ago.
Yeah, man. Chuck D loves this game, man. Loves this sport of basketball. He loves all sports, but especially basketball.
And I still say it Takes a Nation of Millions is the greatest hip hop album of all time, John Sally. Just my personal opinion.
Better than Wu-Tang?
I think so. I mean, for what Public Enemy meant at that time and what they rapped about and what they stood for, not to swerve. Wu-Tang. But I don't know, in 1989 at that point.
1989, the number.
You know, even though.
Child of the Funky Drummer.
That wasn't It Takes a Nation of Millions, but that's just my personal hip hop opinion.
Personal, man. All right. Did I hear that we had to take a break in a second? Did he say that?
We should probably go to break to get to Frank.
Yeah. All right, everybody, let me tell you. I'm sitting in. My name is John Sally. I'm sitting in for
Spider.
Rich Eisner. And Eisen. I always say Eisner. It's Eisen. And his wonderful wife, Susie, probably has kept saying, you should get Sal the host. You should let Sal host. That's probably what happened.
Maybe.
Here we go. We'll be right back with Frank Bukowski.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast,
Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back on, everybody. This is the Rich Eisen Show. This is John Sally. I'm your host of the day. And while we were just watching the great Jay Billis, I played against Jay in college. I love this guy. Really knows the game. I have literally was on the phone texting people. I went to Michael Irvin again. Not gonna have. I went to Chuck D. I don't know. I got to find somebody to come on in 11 o'clock hour. That's going to be it. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I have one of my friends on, 12-time NBA veteran. We have this unbelievable friendship and relationship. How it developed and got to this point, I don't know. He even calls me by my real name, which is Meta World Peace. And everybody, please give a warm welcome and listen to what we are going to talk about today. Frank Brickowski. Brick, what's up, brother?
What up, Johnny? How you doing?
How you living? So everybody, my real name is Johnny, J-O-H-N-E-Y. And then my uncle's name is John Sally. He wind up passing. And then they were like, we're going to call you John now. And the reason they called me Johnny is so they can get us in between. But he calls me Johnny, and I love him for it. Bro, I am sitting here. I was, you know, we talk all the time. A lot of times we are enjoying our favorite cocktail or, you know, and we have great conversations. So I thought you'd be great on this show today. But before we get going, you were in San Antonio. And in San Antonio, I guess I can tell by my haircut, it was 1989,
1990,
1989.
It was a Gumby fresh fade.
Yeah. my fade was unbelievable. It wasn't so cut well because we were in Houston. I mean, we were in San Antonio, and I wasn't letting anybody cut my hair. But if we can put this picture up. This is him choking me and while he's doing, and that's, I think that's Eddie Rush right there. We call that white Eddie Rush. Yes.
Dennis is in the background.
Yes. You grabbed the wrong guy. And I said, Brick, this is Sal. Brick, this is Sal. Now Brick is a big dude too, man. He could have just snapped my head off. I was like, it's Sal. And he turned around. He said, like, oh, wrong one. And it was my favorite part. Do you remember grabbing me by the neck and why?
No. When I saw the picture, because the picture was on the cover of New York Times, I think, one of the big papers. And I remember just what you were saying. I went into it like a blackout, and I grabbed the closest person to me, and it happened to be you, and you just kept on saying, Brick, it's me! Brick, it's me! Brick, it's me!
Don't kill me. Don't kill me. No, definitely. Brick, so what are you doing now?
I'm retired. I'm up in Montana, and we spend our winters in Palm Springs. I worked for the Players Association 15 years, retired a year and a half ago, took my pension. I say I'm sliding into home.
Right, you are. So look, this is when you mentioned that, and I told these guys, and they told me just to hold it for the day. So you're in Montana. That was your summer house.
Right.
And then you live somewhere else for your winter house. Like,
right.
Black folks only have one house. If we got two houses, you got your house, you got mom and them house. Mom and them house is mom and them house. And then, and for those who didn't understand my Ebonics, mom and them. So I call mom and them. So you got your mom and them house, and then you got your house. And explain how you have a summer house. How does that work?
So I was living in Oregon. My son was born in Oregon. I moved to Oregon from Manhattan Beach, California, to be a father to my son for 18 years. When he turned 18, he goes, Dad, I'm out. I was like, me too. We got out of the rainforest. We moved down to L.A., to Hermosa Beach. I used to live in Manhattan Beach. Moved down to Hermosa Beach right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was having anxiety, you know, and I was like, hey, just pump the brakes, settle down. He goes, I don't want to be around these many people. I don't want to be, and he's 18 at the time. I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. We don't even know what this thing is yet. And so we're going to bed that night. My wife said to me, look, as adults, we can't get our brain around what's going on in this world. How can you demand of your son to pump the brakes? I said, all right, we leave. We left the next day. And we took off for Montana. And we get to Salt Lake, and we wake up to news of an earthquake the night before, 6.2, which is significant. Mm-hmm. So we're driving through Salt Lake looking for earthquake damage, running from a pandemic. And I turn to my wife, and I'm like, when did we become part of a B-movie? Like, is this really happening? You know what I mean? It's like earthquakes, pandemic. I don't even know what a pandemic is, you know? So anyway, we hightailed it to Montana, turned the summer home into a winter home by insulating and doing some projects. And then we were here in the wintertime, and I can tell you how we started looking. It was in 1986, 87, 88, somewhere in there. Larry Krystkowiak, who was the coach of Utah and played in the league for a long time, was the head coach of the Bucks for a while. He was on our team in San Antonio, and they scheduled a preseason game in Missoula, Montana. But Larry had been traded. So here we go as a team to Missoula, Montana, and I started looking around. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable country, unbelievable. So I started looking. So I was good friends with Charlie Sheen at the time. And we
Charlie Sheen, buy a ranch. The actor.
The actor. We're going to buy a ranch together in Montana, and we did. And that's how I ended up here 30 years ago and ended up selling that place and buying a lake house on my own. So I live on the same lake as Phil Jackson.
Okay, wait a minute. You just can't get past. You can't slide past the fact that you and Charlie Sheen bought a ranch together. Is that the Bunny yeah. Ranch?
horse ranch, hunting ranch, fun ranch. So
wow.
When I was at the Lakers in 85, 86, I had just seen Platoon. And I go to the game the next night, and Charlie's sitting in the front row, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm just starstruck because the movie was great, and I invited him in the locker room, and we ended up being best friends for a good 8-10 years. He was a great kid, great sense of humor, really generous, really loving, just, you know, what everybody saw was a tragedy of late stages of addiction, but Charlie's good people.
Wow, that's something. So I love that. That was you slipped that one. I had no idea that was going to you were going to say that. So you get
the
this.
The good news is he paid for half of everything, and I think he visited the ranch twice.
Oh, boy, you got over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good partner.
These jokes that I have flowing right now, that's going in my brain, I can't drop them off. So let me hit you with this one. So Brick, you and I were talking, and we're talking about. Going, and this is, and I'm telling you, you're going to love this. Chris, go love this. You said there's no way that Curry would be able to drive down the lane unmolested. And the fact that you even used the word molested. What do you think would happen if he were playing 80s, 90s? How long do you think he would last?
I'll give you an example, and I could send you a picture. We're in the Western Conference Finals. I'm with Seattle. We're playing Utah. John Stockton, who I never really liked. I don't think anybody really liked John Stockton, but he was a great, great player. And he comes in the lane, and I would lead with my hands like I'm going for the ball. I'll catch you with an elbow if I need to. You know, it's what happens when you come in the lane and you go hard to the hole. And I caught him. I gave him 11 stitches, and he's walking away from me, and blood's dripping down his cheek. And I'm 37 years old at the time. I don't have much left in the tank. He yells at me, that's all you can do anymore, Brick. That's all you can do. I said, yeah, Johnny, but I'm still pretty good at it. Go fix your eye.
So do you think the NBA, everyone blames us. Somebody said that we were bad boys. And I say, no, there's more guys like Brick and Scott Hastings and some other thugs,
Bill
I'm going to say.
Anthony Mason.
Yeah.
The list goes on. Oakley.
But that lead now, you understand, these guys are worth $500 million. Some of these guys are worth what some companies are worth. You can't put them on their back. So when you watched, are you entertained by watching the NBA now?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, let me back up for a second. Where I put the blame and the credit is on David Stern's shoulders. When David came in at 32 and was the commissioner, youngest commissioner of any major sport, he brought in his marketing genius. And prior to him and his marketing machine and genius, you had to win championships to be a superstar. And you can go down the list of Michael and Larry and whoever, Magic. And then he came in and said, no. You don't have to win championships to be a superstar. All you got to do is have Wall Street like you and sell sneakers. We'll make you a superstar. So that's where I give him credit for making us all a lot of money. But the game's a little dishonest in my view, right? It's like anywhere in the world, on any basketball court, if you're a guard and you go into that forest of big men, you're getting hit. There's contact.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's like you just go unmolested to the hole. And I'm like, how's that? I don't understand.
Everybody, Frank Murkowski on the phone. Let me tell you, I was looking at your career and checking out the you spend 2 years a couple of places, 1 year a couple of places. Why was that? They just brought you in as a bruiser, or did you piss somebody off in the front office?
No, well, I played 11 years for three teams.
Yeah.
Roughly. And the others were pit stops or whatever. But, you know, when I came in the league, all I could do was beat people up, just bang. And I slowly developed a game. You know, by the time I left, I was a legitimate three-point shooter. I shot 40-some percent. I had both hands down low. I could shoot the mid-range. So I had some skills, but I had to develop that. When I first got in the league, I was just a banger is all I was.
Oh, everybody. And definitely and a choker because you got me right around my
choker
throat.
Banger.
Yes, man. I was nervous. I was nervous. I saw it in
and
your
all you
eyes.
All you gotta do is choke one guy and you become a choker.
You become a choker. You get it going. All right, so we have the Celtics tonight. Up in San Francisco against the Warriors, series 2-2. I'm going to go to my old vet. Tell me what you think is going to happen.
You know, I don't even know anymore. With the way these guys shoot the basketball and Steph and Clay, it's like I can never bet against them. Right? I just can't. You know, they can turn it on. It used to be you're down 12, 15 points, you know, a couple minutes left. The game was pretty much over. Now it's like, well, this is just when it gets started. For those guys, it's like they start. I mean, John, you tell me. Have you ever seen anybody shoot like this? Where he shoots from?
Not from where he shoots from. And we used to have a rule: first to 100 wins. That's out of the window because these guys are scoring 126, 136 points. So it used to be, hey, first to 100. You know, you can see it tapering down.
Right.
Not anymore. They figured it out.
And plus, if a guy did a dance after he had a shot, he did a little shimmy, he got touched up the next play. Like, that was back in our day, that was embarrassing. Like, he was trying to embarrass you, where now, everybody does.
Yeah, everybody has a dance. Everybody has a dance, hairstyles. I don't even remember getting a haircut during the finals. I don't even remember getting a haircut. I don't remember anything except having to be back there the next day. These guys got hair color. Their lines are amazing. But they are superstars, and they have become walking superstars. Like right. An NBA player.
A walking conglomerate.
Yeah. When we played in Milwaukee, you walked across the street to the Mecca. You know what I'm saying? If a person got an autograph from you, you would like, you know, it was like, oh, okay, here, yeah, I signed that.
Right.
And keep it going. But now, not the way it is. These guys are walking companies, I would say.
And you can speak to this better than I can, Johnny. I played in one final. They started three games. The exhaustion was overwhelming. And I wasn't even playing that many minutes. Where you went four times or won four rings. I don't know how many finals you went to. But it's just that constant pressure, that constant pressure cooker that just wears you down. So when I look at Clay on the bench and Steph and those guys, I'm like, how do they do it year after year after year and perform at their level? It's just amazing. That's what amazes me.
You know, my wonderful producer said you went, like, right, you and Dennis Rodman going ahead. That was a tough one. Was that the year that he was in the finals going against Dennis?
Yeah.
You were exhausted. See, Dennis is from a planet just outside of Pluto. So, you know, yeah, he's definitely from a different planet. He's from a different planet, and he's a different human. Kind of like you, man. Kind of like you. I want to come up to Montana, but, you know, I heard that you guys, you know, everybody has a rifle. And
we got plenty of guns.
Yeah, you have plenty of guns, and guys walk with a lot of boots. I don't have cowboy boots. I don't eat meat. I don't know if I can go to Montana.
What size shoe are you? I might have a pair of boots you can wear.
Oh, Nike? No.
I went to a Shaq rap concert in Kalispell, Montana 20 years ago.
What?
If you ask him, he'll tell you a funny story.
Oh, that's right. Phil tells that story. He came home and Shaq was jumping on his trampoline.
Yeah. And so Howie Long's a real close friend of mine. He's godfather to my son. He has a house here also for 25 years. We've been coming here.
Wow.
So we see a poster in the town where we're at, Shaq putting on a rap concert in an hour away. So we go. I love Shaq. I mean, I've known him since he was 15 in San Antonio. So we go, Howie and I and his three boys, and we're in the audience. There's probably 200 people at a rodeo stadium. Shaq comes out and starts going into his rap songs, and he sees me in the middle of his first song, and it stops him dead in his tracks. he just stops the song. And he can't believe. He goes, Brick! He goes, what are you doing here? Like, you're not supposed to be here. And he walks to the back of the stage and kind of gathers himself and goes back into the song. And he looks at me again like 30 seconds later, and he sees Howie Long standing right next to me. He stops the song again. He goes, Howie Long? We are dying laughing. And then he gathered himself. He brought the kids up on the stage. And we have pictures of this. It's just, I give him a hard time every time I see him about it.
Yeah, Montana. You know, I've never been to Montana. I haven't been to Mississippi either, so don't feel bad. I haven't been to Mississippi. I saw the movies.
I get Mississippi. But Montana is a good state. Montana, I mean, it's a friendly, loving state. We have a wonderful time. The lake we're on is 187 miles of shoreline. So it's a huge body of water. It's just nothing but fun. You'd have a ball.
Yeah. I heard that. Yeah. I am such a city kid, and I would love to. But is there a flight, or do I have to, like, can I take they got a private airport? Not that I'm bragging about private planes or anything, but that you could also rent them through me. But
can you ride a horse?
I'm 7 foot, bro. I'm 7 foot. Like, you'd be crazy to watch a horse with six legs. You know what I'm saying? He's like, my legs running with the horse's leg is just not going to go. But and I'm an animal activist. I don't know if animal activists even ride horses. But I get some stirrups. I think I used to like riding horses.
At the circus.
Yeah.
We had Alvin Robertson. Remember Alvin Robertson?
Yeah, where's Alvin? Yeah.
He's living in England somewhere, but we had him up here. Larry Kustowiak was close with him. I was close with him. Larry's from this area. And we put him on a horse, and the horse got kind of scared, and they started going at it. And Alvin ended up underneath his neck with his legs wrapped around on the saddle and his arms choking the horse.
I was choking the horse out.
You can't
say uncle.
You can't make this up. You can't make this up. We saw him running around for a good 3 minutes, which felt like 3 hours. Him not knowing what to do, the horse not knowing what to do, and finally Alvin let go of the horse, and the horse took off, and we didn't see him for 4 days.
We won't tell you why. That horse was on something. All right. Hey, Frank, I appreciate you, man, and we will talk again. And stay alive,
Johnny.
Brother. And I can't wait to come up to the lake. Helicopter, though.
I love you.
Helicopter. I'm not. Not doing those long rides. All right, everybody. That was my friend Frank Burkowski for a 12-time, 12 years in the NBA and three teams. That's amazing. Three teams. He said 11 years of three teams. But he played on some great teams. In case you want to know, Charlotte. Oh, this should be a great one. Charlotte Hornets, Seattle Supersonics. See, this is why he should be a trivial, because you can say he played for the Sonics, and nobody would know who you were talking about.
Yeah, they're going to get a team again.
Do you think so?
I do.
They've already NBA's already been talking about
it. Seems like the league's going to expand.
Teams should be in Vegas.
Las Vegas.
That's one of them, yeah. And LeBron says he wants to own the Vegas team, so.
Yeah. Team should be in Vegas. Well, Vegas team would be the best.
The league's going to make that happen. And then I think Seattle gets their team back.
All right. So everybody didn't know Seattle used to have a team, and then they went to Oklahoma. And not saying it was a mistake, but I like the team in Seattle. I love Seattle. It's one of my favorite places to be.
Fun city.
I also find Burkowski kind of, his career is weird because he went from being about a 4 point per game scorer with Seattle. Then he goes to the Spurs. He bumps up to 16 a game.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge,
shooting threes.
It's a huge jump, man.
So and this is the deal. When you start letting people play, I say this to, when you start seeing, and I say this to these people who go into it, when you start seeing people in the NBA and I hear a guy go, oh man, that guy sucks. You can't and get into the league. There's no mistakes.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
There's like, no, maybe in football, but like I remember they used to dog, Brian Leaf or Ryan Leaf? Because he didn't
guess I was here, yeah.
Let me tell you, he's a good player.
Yeah.
It's just certain places, it doesn't click. It doesn't mean you're not a good player. And I remember I got to Detroit and I'm trying to score and Chuck Daly's like, I need block shots and rebounds. If not, I need a new player. I'm great at blocking shots and rebounding, Chuck. You got to do what you do to get into it. But he was a great player. And he played in Europe first, I think it was.
Yeah, for three seasons.
I think if you're not going to go to college, and I'm not going to say anything because it would be controversial, I would send my kids. Best thing to happen with Lonzo Ball. I'm telling you, if you want to be an NBA player, you got to play Tony Parker. Tony Parker started playing pro.
LaMelo.
Yeah. Who did I say?
You said Lonzo. Lonzo went to UCLA.
Went right by it. University in the corner of La Cienega Avenue. When you play, Tony Parker played for his father, professional at 15 years old. Melo. Mm-hmm. Goes over to Lithuania.
A few places.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Australia, then Lithuania. Yeah.
It does nothing but make you a better pro. He's going to be a 10 times better pro. So all those college kids out there that think they're going one and out, if I were in their position, I would go to Europe and play in Europe. I played in Greece, great in Portugal. All right, everybody, we'll be right back with more on the Rich Eisen Show. John Sally. Everybody, welcome back. John Sally, I'm sitting in right here, the Rich Eisen Show. And this is a trip. That is one of the, obviously, biggest humans ever.
Ever.
But he's so entertaining. Every time I see him, like in commercials or something, that's amazing. Can you imagine how big those hands are?
He's
7'3", and he also weighs over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
But he's shredded.
But he has very low body fat.
Yeah,
he's jacked.
Yeah, it's amazing. That is amazing. I remember when I met Yao Ming.
That's the biggest right there.
Yeah, I'm 6'11", 3/4", 6'10", and 3/4", but 6'11", 3/4", and I was looking up, and he was like another, like half my body. So he was like this big, and I just kept looking at him. I'm thinking, oh, what are they doing? And I saw a Shaq dunk on him, and I'm thinking, man, massive humans. I had Manute Bol was my teammate. I stood next to him all the time. Yeah, in Miami. And he kept saying, Sal, give me some room. Why are you so close? I go, I never looked up, and I would just constantly do it. I would constantly look up at Manute and go, this is the most amazing thing. And people would do it to me. They go, my, you're a giant. I go, nah, let me show you a giant. And I bring him over to the
You played against Jorge Murisan.
Murisan, right? Too, was. And you know, when you run into them, they don't move. Just now, watching that piece, I was thinking, God, I remember looking at that guy's hands thinking, don't want to piss him off.
Right.
All right, so this hour, we were just going to pick up the phone and call. But, you know, I didn't want to be dissed. So I called Michael Irvin. Didn't pick up. I called Chuck D, went straight to voicemail.
Nice.
So we're going to have to pick some. I was going to call Byron Davis, but I don't know. Maybe Byron Scott. That would be fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we'll just see if we can get Byron Scott.
What's up with Dennis?
Dennis Rodman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he carries a phone.
He would have a flip phone, though, right?
He would have a flip phone.
He seems like he wouldn't have a phone, period. Flipper.
I think somebody else would be holding the phone. Dennis doesn't, a lot of things that we take for granted, Dennis
Modern
doesn't
technology.
Have to deal with. Matching clothes colors, things like that, we take for granted. And Dennis will wear some cool sweats and a boa and that call of the night. You know what I'm saying? Like he can get away with that. Like you saw him at the top 75. He can get away with whatever he wants to wear. I got to think of that. I got to think of who we're going to ring up. Maybe we can just call it out. I'll bring the phone out. And we'll just make these phone calls and see what happens.
I think maybe lob a text to Tom Arnold, see if the number's the same.
Yeah, I should do that. Tom Arnold, keep coming at him. Hey, who are you thinking, TJ?
I mean, Dennis. We call Lambeer.
No.
No.
Bill wouldn't get on the show.
Dill Dumars?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about Vinny?
Vinny runs a $300 million company. You think he has a chance to come?
That's your man's in them, though.
Yeah. Maybe Rick Mahorn.
What about Mark Aguirre?
Draws, I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to get. I try to get him to do something with this this app I was working with. You know? So keep going.
Okay, we'll figure this out.
All right, hold on. All right, I'm looking at the last year. You were on the 99-2000 Lakers team.
Yeah, Rick Fox.
Glenn Rice was on that team.
I know. Maybe we should call Glenn Rice.
That would be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
Rick Fox was on that team.
What's up with baby Jordan?
Oh, man.
Harold
let me
Miner.
Tell you.
Oh,
Harold Miner. I tried to get back. When I saw Harold, I was playing for the Toronto Raptors, I think it was.
Because we sometimes forget you play with the Heat because that was the one team you didn't win the ring with.
Yeah. Well, that and the Raptors I didn't ring with. But I thank you for mentioning that to people. You know what I'm saying? Every team I've ever been on, you know. Don't get it twisted. I was the reason for the winning.
First player to ever win rings with three different teams was John Sally, if I'm not mistaken.
I know. I deserve seven championships, though. And the reason I say that is Jerry Krause told me that I was going to have to sign a minimum contract, which was $365,000. And I said, no way. I know it sounds cocky, but Michael Jordan's making $300,000 a game. And I said, Jerry, you can't sit me next. And I'm with him all the time. And he can, you know, he would kill me if I was there. Plus, I know how to negotiate. But it didn't work out. And you got to be able to walk away. I walked away, and he gave it to Robert Parrish. I wasn't mad that he gave the position to Robert Parrish because I'm a Celtic fan. And I loved it. But Robert only played like 17 games, nine games, and took $2.5 million that should be in my pocket. And retired. So that was that. So
what about Dickie Simpkins?
Oh, I love, man. Dickie, you know, it was a trip with Dickie. Dickie had to sit down when I came onto the Bulls. And then his locker is right next to me. So I, you know, young fella, you know, that's what I would say, man. I would get into the young fella conversation and yelling. I got it. You know, and it's a trip because Chris Paul is doing something right now with Michelle Obama. They're here in California. And I was going to call him up, but I knew where he was because I'd already thought about it.
Yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, that's going to get to it. So this phone call is going to be great. Here we go.